Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins? The law could not make anyone perfect. And here specifically in regard to the sacrifices. Now we know commandments can make people perfect. You can never be perfect by commandments. Meaning I can't say to you, don't do this. That won't make you perfect. Oh, thank you. Now I know I shouldn't do that. Why? Because that their conscience is there. Because in their consciences, and many men's consciences testify against them to this day, and they have said to me, when I preach the gospel to them, that they know they're going to sin. That is an evil conscience. What he's saying very simply is if the sacrifices could perfect people, then they would have stopped offering them. Wouldn't they? Because that's why, would they not have ceased to be offered? Question. Because the worshippers who would come, the blood would be shed and they would be purged, and they would have no more conscience of sins. Very simply. He's saying that is what we obtain under Christ, and that is not how the old covenant worked. They offered the sacrifices continually, year by year, time after time, in a cycle. So the law was merely a shadow, and by no means was it the very image of the thing. I mean, if the law had been an image of what was to come, then what was to come would have been a lot more like the law. But it was merely a shadow, which is far less distinct than, say, you know, a mirror image, which though is not the same thing, is a very good reflection of it, at least from one side. Verse 3, but in these sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Where the offerings themselves were not the law. They were offered by the law. The offering and sacrifice is God did not come to the Israelites demanding sacrifices. But they, their sins, demanded sacrifice. Their sins demanded offerings. Because God, from the beginning, had an intention. He knew about the sins of man. It wasn't like he was surprised. But the sin, he already had a plan to take care of it through the death of his son. And so, it wouldn't do to simply forgive their sins in the old covenant. There had to be bloodshed, because the bloodshed was a shadow of the blood of Christ which is shed. And remember, it's really what is first in the mind of God is the second, not the first. Meaning, Christ wasn't sacrificed because the law required blood, but the blood of Christ required that the law should be a certain way in order to be a shadow. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Or once. The for all is added. You don't need for all. Once is good enough. So it's not possible the blood of goats and bulls would take away sin. There's no power or virtue in the blood of an animal that would cause me to turn from my sins. That would take away my sins. It can never make me perfect. Why? Because I'm going to have to come back next year and offer again because I'm going to sin again. It's not merely to make me feel like I need to offer again for the same old sin. meaning I sinned once in 1980, and now I'm going to have to make a sacrifice every year to atone for that sin. But their nature had not changed. So, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said. Now, this is quoted from Psalm 40. I want to draw your attention to the clause, but a body hast thou prepared me. Interesting here, because Paul, through the advent of Christ, is reinterpreting the meaning of Psalm 40. And because that line in Psalm 40 is, thou hast opened my ears. But really what it says, is you have bored my ears. To drill or bore. And I guess the idea would be to open. But my also thought, the thought I had, and maybe this isn't valid, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyways. Because it fits more in with Christ. Since Paul is applying this to Christ, I think I have a little liberty here. To bore the ear, when a servant was going to submit himself to his master for all time, meaning there was a law that says when you let your slave go, after so many years, you have to let them go. There was no lifetime of servitude. Unless the servant was not willing to go. If he said, no, I want to stay with you. Then you would bore his ear through with an awl. And he would be your servant forever. And that's interesting because Paul here says, you have this sort of alteration. Sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not. But a body hast thou prepared me. What body? The body of Christ. In which way was his body prepared? Well, it was prepared in the offering of his body and sacrifice for our sins. In obedience to God. Like the idea of the boring through of the ear. He bored through his ear to show his dedication to his master. The hands and feet of Christ were bored through with nails. And his under his ribs were pierced with a spear. So we see in that obedience and in that offering of himself, right? The negation of the sacrifice. Sacrifice and offering you don't want. But I am in obedience to you, God. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Right? And burnt offerings for sins thou hast no pleasure. I come to do thy will, O God. There's an alteration. Burnt offerings and sacrifice you don't want. You have bored through my ear. And then, burnt offerings for sin thou hast no pleasure. I come to do thy will, O God. And Paul makes this a contrast between the Old and New Covenant. He said, he takes away the first, they may establish the second. The first